your word will profit us and it will do us good. We give you all the glory, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so you are welcome to Booster Service. And it's my pleasure to be here and delivering the word of God as it is. Okay. And when I was speaking the other time, I said it doesn't take God. God doesn't need any kind of prepping. Okay. All he needs to do, when he's ready to speak, he only needs to get your attention. Okay. He has his words that is ready. He's ever ready. And he's the only one that doesn't have a second version of everything that he has created. Okay, so the trees he created at the foundation of the earth are the same trees. Hallelujah. We are the ones that are modifying them genetically, Abby. So we have mangoes as big as my head. And I can never knowingly eat that kind of a mango. The one that's as big as my head. If they dice it and I don't know, it's a different thing. But I don't know how people will see something that big. And then they take hold of it and start. Even the corn that I struggle with, all those things that are genetically modified. It just doesn't gel well with me. Hallelujah. But it's the only one. So there's no Marvel version 2. There's no Marvel version 3. Hallelujah. Amen. Once he had created you, then you are going to move. You are the one that will move to what he has created you to be. Amen. So if God says this is who you are, and you are not there, then you are the one that is going to move to. It's not going to change who you are anymore, because that's what you have done even before the foundation of the earth. And it's very important that we keep that in the midst of our heart. Hallelujah. Amen. Romans 15 verse 4, he says, whatever things, all those things that were written before, they were written for our learning. Hallelujah. Amen. They were written for our learning. So that what? So that we, through the patience and the comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Amen. And we learn when we go to school, we learn when informally or formally. Okay? So the informal one is when somebody just comes around and begins to teach you something. You begin to pick it up. It's informal. Then the formal one is structured. You go there, you sit down, then they have a scheme or syllabus, then you begin to follow it. All right? But we know that in the house of God, we learn. Hallelujah. Amen. In the presence of God, at his feet, we learn. Amen. And what we also have known is that what created the difference between every other person and you and I is that we have knowledge. And that knowledge separates us and makes us extraordinary. And I think I was trying to describe it the other day that when you see a medical student, okay, and anybody in any kind of field that is studying, he has become extraordinary. Because he knows more about that field than you know. Okay? So I cannot dare to start arguing with Sister Remy now. Because our field is about learning to manage words and then counter and listen, Abby. And so when there's an argument, she can easily and readily win. Okay? But I will not argue because of respect. It's not that she can win you. Don't worry. Or when if you see, for instance, I can't argue with Bro Toby when it comes to all these machines anymore. Before now, I can be forming that it's me now. I know how to do this button and this. If I go there now, if all of you say, "Oga, go and sit down," because to me now they become extraordinary. Okay, so when they do all the loops and everything, because I don't know about it, then they become extraordinary. Hallelujah. So we are extraordinary because of the knowledge that we get from the Spirit of God. Amen. Okay, so today we are going to learn. We are going to learn from different stories in the Bible. We learn from one story in the Bible, but we learn different things. Number one is that, which one do we do first? Okay, let's read the story first. Judges chapter 16. And I guess you know that if you go to Judges, you are likely to be reading about So let me read verse 1. It says, "Now Samson," Judges 16, it says, "Now Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there, and went into her. When the Gazites were told Samson has come here, they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the gate of the city. Okay? They were quiet all night, saying, in the morning, when it's daylight, we will kill him. And Samson lay low till midnight. Okay? Then he arose at midnight, took hold of the doors of the gate of the city, and the two gateposts, pulled them up, bar and all, put them on his shoulders, and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. So here is someone that people surrounded the city and say, when he comes out, we are going to lay hold of him. And then he waits for them till midnight. The gate of the city, for the post of the city, carries his on his shoulder. And nobody in their right senses will go near him. Nobody. Just wonder that. So how are we going to, if he can carry, and I bet you the city's gates in those days and the posts of those days, they're not like the ones we have now. I think I've been to northern Nigeria before, and I've seen gates. So when you tell us stories about the great walls and all that, you just need to go to northern Nigeria. You see walls that are as wide as this door, or two times the width of this door. And that's why horses could ride on those walls around the city then, you know. And then you see, everyone imagine that someone is carrying the gates and the post with it. That was the kind of, strength that he exhibited. And then, of course, he says in verse 4, afterwards it happened that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came to her and said, entice him and find out where his great strength lies, and by what means we will overpower him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and every one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver. So they are promising her money so that they can overpower him. Okay? And they said that she should entice him. Okay? Entice him and find out where his great strength lies, and by what means we may overpower him. Okay? And it will come at a price. And this word entice, okay, was to lure him to be able to get everything that he would tell her about his strength. So she would do all manner of things, try to cajole. Sometimes at home, right, I just jokingly do it anyway. When my wife comes and she's greeting me in an extraordinary manner, I say, Madam, calm down. There's nothing. So I just say, Madam, as I am like this, if you finish this greeting, just know that it's just greeting. There is nothing that will come out of this greeting. No, my head cannot swell to say, oh, yeah, take money. And then she will just look at me and say, why are you just like this? I said, just in case. I am just on guard. Hallelujah. But don't be like me. So when they greet you like that, please accept it. Hallelujah. And if they do eventually get you, all the best. Hallelujah. So it's like, so does it mean that Israel has something that I'll greet you like that? I don't know. But I just understand that when people begin to greet you specially, don't let your head get swollen so that you can reason very well. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, so if you read further down, she tried her luck with him like two or three times. Okay? Let me read verse 13. And this was what he was doing. Every time he told her something, she would try it out. Every time he told her something, she would try it out, and then she would come back to him and say, hey, Sibi say you love me. Hallelujah. Amen. So, that's why we are like this. So, because we have learned from Samson, everything that was written for our learning. Hallelujah. So, when you say, give me this one, Sibi say you love me, it's a lie. So that's, it won't work. Amen. And it should not work. It will come from our hearts to your heart. Amen. Okay. So, in verse 13, Delilah said to Samson, until now, you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me what you may be bound with. I can't imagine. She said, tell me what you may be bound with. And he said to her, if you weave the 7 locks of my head into the web of the loom. So she wove it tightly with the betting of the loom and said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. But he awoke from his sleep, pulled out the betting and the web from the loom. Then she said to him, how can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? Please put this, verse 15, put it on in your left palm. Judges 16:15. It says, how can you say you love me when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me these 3 times and have not told me where your great strength lies. And it came to pass, when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him, so that his soul was vexed to death, that he told her all his heart and said to her, no razor has ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. And if I am shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. Amen. He says, I will be like any other man. Hallelujah. Then when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up once more, for he has told me all his heart. So the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hand. Hallelujah. I think it's Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 23. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Hallelujah. From out of it springs the issues of life. Now, if you look at the instances, the 3 instances that he told her what was not true. Okay? The first one was that when he would tell her something, she would test it, okay? And the way she was testing it is just amazing, okay? Just watch it. The way she was testing it was that he would say, let me read it too. Okay, let me read it from verse 7. And Samson said to her, if they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings, 16:7. It says, not yet dried, then I shall become weak and be like any other man. So the Lord of the Philistines brought up to her 7 fresh bowstrings, not yet dried, and she bound him with them. Now men were lying in wait, staying with her in the room. And she said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. But he broke the bowstrings, and as a strand of yarn breaks when it touches fire, so the secret of strength was not known. So she will always test it. When she talked about the loom, the men were not there. Okay? She would try it. And then, of course, he knows that once he hears Philistine, he will get up and then he will cut it. But when the Bible records that he spoke his heart to her, he says, when he spoke his heart to her, do you know that she didn't test it? Because she knew that that was the call. So in verse 15, it says that, then she said to him, how can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me 3 times and have not told me where your great strength is. And it came to pass, she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death. That he told her all his heart and said to her, no razor has ever come upon me, blah, blah, blah. Says verse 18, says, when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she said and called for the Lord of the Philistines, come up once more, for he has told me all his heart. Amen. She was too certain at that point that he had told her everything. So she called them to come. Okay? Very sure. Hallelujah. Amen. He says, how can you say you love me when your heart is not with me? Amen. Hallelujah. Matters of the heart are very critical. That's why I read Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. That talks about the fact that you should guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Now, the physical heart is different from the spiritual heart. Amen. Although they look, although they are similar. So if you know how the heart works, okay? The heart has how many chambers? See? How many chambers does the heart have? How many chambers does the heart have?
Four.
Okay. For me. Are you for me? Hallelujah. So the heart has four chambers. Okay? There's the right side, and then there's the left side. All right? So it's like if you draw a square, just break it into four. There's the right side, and then the left side. Now, the way the heart works is that as you are breathing, you know, when we're breathing, what do? We're breathing what? Talk now. We're breathing oxygen. Okay. So once you breathe in oxygen, and then what happens when you breathe out? Carbon dioxide. Now, what happens is that once you're breathing in, okay, the air goes into your lungs, and then blood passes through your lungs and picks up the oxygen in the lungs. Okay, the oxygen in the air that you're breathing, okay, and that blood flows and carries that oxygen to all the organs of the body. So when it gets to the organs of the body, it exchanges whatever, we call it deoxygenated blood. It exchanges oxygen there, gives the organ oxygen, and then takes all the other rubbish away and carries that blood that does not have oxygen. Eh? So you know one thing, when you cut yourself, sometimes you see very dark blood, right? And then sometimes you see fresh blood, right? So the dark blood means that your blood is dirty. Actually, that's not it, actually. I'm just joking. So the dark one is that it lacks oxygen. So it's blood that is returning back to the heart so that it will go to the lungs and then it will exchange oxygen. That's the dark one, okay? And that's one that flows in the, it flows in the veins. It goes there and then it's carrying blood that doesn't have oxygen. So it needs to go and replenish, okay? So it comes in through the right side, through the artery in the right side, the atrium, and then goes to the ventricle, and then it goes into the lungs, picks up oxygen, comes to the left side, goes through the ventricle on the left side, and then it goes to the organs. So I've taught you what you refuse to learn, all of you that ran away from biology. So that's why there are four chambers. So the right side, okay, the atrium on the right side takes deoxygenated blood from the lungs. It takes it in to the heart and then passes it to the right side of the ventricle of the right side. And then that one carries that one to the lungs so that it can be oxygenated. The oxygenated blood, it goes to the left atrium, okay, and passes to the ventricle, and then that one takes it to the organs. And that's how your blood keeps pumping. So there are four chambers in the heart, okay? Don't worry, I just wanted to teach you how the heart works. But if that cycle is not complete, you will not feel okay. Okay, so sometimes you say the left side of the heart is not working well. That means that you will not be exchanging oxygen. And that's why you need, because we know you need oxygen. Well, you need oxygen to survive, to continue to live. The heart has to keep pumping the blood around. So it's not just pumping blood. It is actually taking blood that doesn't have oxygen to go and supply, to go and get oxygen, and then take that one that has oxygen to go and supply the organs that need it. Okay? So the Bible says, out of the heart flows the issues of life. Okay? So that, I just described what the heart does to you. Okay? The same way, spiritually, this heart we talk about, it says out of it flows the issues of life. Samson did not go down until he let go of his heart. Okay? And then he let go of that diligence of his heart, and then he lost everything that he had from God. Amen. So if you read further down, Judges chapter 16, it says in verse 19, then she hauled him to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the seven locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. And she said, Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he woke up from his sleep. I will go out as before, at other times, and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Amen. Once he lost control of his heart, once he let go of the diligence of his heart, the Bible says, the Lord had departed from him. Amen. And you know that it tells us one thing. Number one, that the strength of Samson was not exactly in his hair. Hallelujah. Now, some people will argue that because they cut off his hair, that's how they cut him. But see what happened towards the end. So that just in case they want to argue and say, it's because they cut his hair. The Bible says here that in verse 20, it says, and she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he woke up from his sleep, but he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Then the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him to Gaza. They bound him with 7 fetters, bronze fetters. He became a grinder in prison. However, the hair of his head began to grow again after he had been shaven. Now the lords of the Philistines gathered together to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon their god and to rejoice. And they said, our God has delivered into our hands Samson, our enemy. When the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, our God has delivered into our hands our enemy, the destroyer. So it happened when their hearts were merry, that they called for Samson that he may perform for us. So they called for Samson from the prison, and he performed for them. And then they stationed him between the pillars. Then Samson said to the lad who held him by the hand, let me feel the pillars which support the temple so that I can lean on them. Now the temple was full of men and women, and the lords of Philistines were there, about 3,000 men and women on the roof watching while Samson performed. And Samson called to the Lord, saying, O Lord God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray, just this once, O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple, and he braced himself against them, one on his right hand and the other on his left. Then Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he pushed with all his might, and the temple fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed at his death were more than he killed in his life. Amen. When did his strength return? His strength returned when he said to God, he said, strengthen me this once. Hallelujah. And the Bible was very careful to tell us, it wasn't that his hair was fully grown. He says his hair was just growing. But that wasn't about it. He was there. And he said, strengthen me this once. Hallelujah. And it's very important. Man is a tripartite being. He's made of a spirit that has a soul and he lives in a body. Okay? And when we talk about the spiritual heart, the Bible has told us that out of the heart flows the issues of life. Okay? Now, the spiritual heart refers to a person's being. Okay? The emotions, the will, the intellect, and conscience. The emotion, the will, the intellect, and conscience. Very important. How many components? 4. How many components does your physical heart have? 4. Hallelujah. Amen. So don't forget, once you remember your heart, the physical one, then you remember that you have 4 components. Now your spiritual heart has 4 components. It has a will. It has what? Emotions. It has what again? Intellect and conscience. 4. 4 things. And it's very important. So if you are going to guard, if you are going to guard your heart with all diligence, these 4 things are very critical for you to take note of and to guard. Amen. So whatever you allow into your heart will go in. Amen. And then it will come out. Okay? And that's why it's careful. The Bible says whatever things are pure, whatever things are holy, whatever things are very good, all these are the things you should meditate upon. Because you have these 4 components of your spiritual heart, the will, the intellect, the conscience, and what? And your emotions. So when a person is going to be knocked off, when you begin to deal with the person, and which was what happened to Samson, he says that she kept pestering him until he was vexed. So he was destabilized emotionally. And then he said, okay, no problem. I give in. And then he starts saying different things. Okay? And he begins to tell her different things. I mean, then he said, okay, this one, you can take it off. Hallelujah. But the problem of the matter is that the guard that he had, things that he never did before, was taken away. His emotions was, first of all, she dealt with his emotions. Okay? As she kept telling him, and that's why the Bible warns us. Okay? So how many of us are here? Three of us are here. The Bible warns us that it is better to live in the corner of the house roof than to live in the same house with what? It's what? A nagging. So the three of us, can the three of us identify ourselves? Can the three of us identify ourselves? Thank you. So that's why, because if someone continues to nag, it's going to break down your defenses if you're not careful, and then you will make mistakes. Hallelujah, amen. And it applies to everybody. Okay, so whether you are masculine or feminine or the feminine gender, when somebody is nagging, it's better for you to move away. Amen. Now, why would we be so sure and so certain about these things? In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 4. I won't be able to finish, but don't worry. Matthew chapter 9, verse 4 says, but Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your hearts? Hallelujah. Amen. So, you know that technically or whatever, if I say you are thinking, you will say you are thinking where? Your head. But this Jesus understands the way he designed our body more than us. He says, why do you think evil in your hearts? Hallelujah. Meaning that this think, is it a verb or a noun? It's a verb. Thank you. This think is a component of the heart. Hallelujah. Amen. It's an activity of the mind. And the Lord Jesus said, why do you think in your hearts? Okay. So that mind is part of your heart. Hallelujah. Amen. The components of your heart. That mind is part of your heart because that's where your thinking happens. Amen. It's not part of your biological heart. It's part of your spiritual heart. Okay? So when we talk about the fact that your heart, spiritual heart, has four components, the will, the emotions, the intellect, and what? The conscience. Okay, so this thinking is part of what? Yeah, which one of the spiritual components? The intellect. Thank you. Hallelujah. That's where you begin to reason from, right? So when we are breaking it, that spiritual component is your will, your intellect, your what? Conscience, and your what? And emotions. Hallelujah. Okay. And then also look at the fact that it's in Proverbs 23, verse 7, it says, for as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Hallelujah. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Amen. As a man thinks in his heart. So that your mind of yours is part of your heart. Hallelujah. Okay. Then the next thing we look at, Acts chapter 11. And Acts 11, verse 23. It says, when he came, and he had seen the grace of God, he was glad, and encourage them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. He says, when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad. And then he encouraged them all that with purpose of heart, he should continue with the Lord. Hallelujah. When you look about purpose, it is about what? If you are proposing to do something, thank you. It's about will. Okay? So, you see also here that it says that with purpose of heart, that will, that component of your heart is also very important. The first one we have seen is your mind, which has your intellect. The second one is this one that I talked to them and said, look, when he came, he saw the grace of God. He was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart, they should continue with the Lord. So you have to have that will. And that will comes from the heart. Hallelujah. Amen. It says with that, you should continue with the Lord. Amen. Okay. John chapter 16. John 16 and John 16 and verse 22. It says, therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy will no one will take from you. Hallelujah. It says, I will see you again, and your heart will do what? Will rejoice. Amen. So that component of your spiritual heart, again, that we are looking at, it talks about the fact that there will be joy in your heart, which is your emotion. Hallelujah. Amen. And then the last one. Hebrews chapter 10. Now, before we leave the emotion part, also remember that in Proverbs 17 verse 22, the Bible talks about that a merry heart does good like medicine. A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. A merry heart does good like medicine. Amen. And if so, in John 16:22, we talked about the fact that your heart will rejoice. Here it says that a merry heart does good like medicine. Amen. Your emotions is an integral component of your heart. In Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and I read from verse 22. Where is that? It says, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Hallelujah. Amen. It says, let us draw near with a true heart, having our hearts sprinkled on our evil conscience and our body being washed with pure water. And this is a further confirmation of the fact that that conscience is a component of your heart. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 20, it says, for if our heart condemns us, okay, for God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Amen. So conscience, that is the fourth part of your heart that is very important. So if your mind, your will, your emotions, or your mind or your intellect, okay, your will, your emotions, or your conscience are not in right standing, that man is totally finished. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's why if you look at everything we do as human beings, okay, if you are going to desire to do something, or you want to propose to do something, it comes from your will. Hallelujah. Amen. And once you have that will, you begin to rub your mind or begin to meditate in your mind, hallelujah, okay, everything, that every component of everything that you are doing is within your heart. So if your emotions are battered, your intellect is debased, and there's a problem. Because the Bible tells us, as Proverbs 4:23, that out of the, if you keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Amen. So if you begin to sit down and say, what are the issues of life? You cannot disconnect the issues of life from these four things. You cannot. Amen. You cannot. Because, look, when he was talking about, when Christ was talking about committing fornication, he said, if you just think about it, right? Am I right? He said, if you just think about it, then you have committed. Hallelujah. Because it's in your heart. And once you open that gateway and you let anything in, then there's a problem. So when you begin to think, and when you begin that process, that thought process, it's in your heart. Hallelujah. When you are responding to things around you, whether it's joy, hallelujah, and that's why the Bible keeps telling us, and we keep reading it, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Because that joy is embedded, is the component of our heart. Hallelujah. It says, serve the Lord your God with all your might, with all your heart, and with all your soul. So if you think, how am I going to serve him with all my heart? Now, these four components of your heart are very important, and that's how you're going to serve him. Amen. We hear and we read that the will of God is known in his word. Amen. So if you are going to do anything with purpose of heart, with will, then it has to be that will, or that your purpose is embedded in God's word. Hallelujah. You know, some people say that they are not emotionally, strong. Hallelujah. Those that we say that are emotionally strong is because that they have chosen to guard their heart with all diligence, wedge it with the word of God. Amen. Nobody ever, you can't tell the next thing that will come your way. What you should be able to tell is that when anything comes my way, this is how I am going to respond. Hallelujah. And your response is going to come from within, from your heart. So if the will component of your heart is out of sync with God, the emotional component is out of sync with God, and the intellect is just not where, okay? What is left for you to depend on? Nothing. There's no more defense. So if you can look at if you are a total man, okay, that means that your spirit, your body, and your soul is complete. Amen. So I see people go around and talk about total wellness. You know, these days everybody talks about wellness. Everybody's looking at how to live a better life. And it's not simple. You just stop eating genetically modified food and eat good food. It's true. When you want to eat, go to the farm, get fresh vegetable, Abby, and then cook it and eat. There's nothing like, what's this thing? You want to eat shawarma, go and put mayonnaise. Lord, this. There's no need. Hallelujah. Why are you laughing? Yeah. It's just very instructional. So everybody talks about total awareness. And the total awareness, they will look at every component of the human being. Okay? So if you are going to look at total awareness of man and based on God's word, then you need to look at every component of man. And we've known that if you are born again, you are sold out to Christ, hallelujah, then that spiritual component is taken care of. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 12. You know that spiritual component is taken care of. It says, brethren, I beseech you, from verse 1, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So once you take care of the spiritual component, there's a need for that soulish component, in quote, where your heart is, for you to take care of it. And you cannot be an emotional wreck and then be standing, then you stand tall. It's not going to be possible. It's not going to be solved. If you cannot control the emotions, you cannot deal with your intellect. You know, sometimes your mind goes astray. And but what does the Bible say? It says we should bring every thought captive to the word of God. Hallelujah. If you are not going to be exercising in this direction, we are going to be losing control of an important component of ourselves. So we're going to stop here so that we can come back next week. But this is what I want to leave us with. It says that we cannot, that our heart is the gateway to our being. Hallelujah. And that's what we're going to take off next week. Our heart is the gateway to our being. Hallelujah. The only way that Delilah got to Samson was through his heart. Every other thing, once she saw that this was his heart, he had poured out everything, that was a gateway into his life, and that was the end of it. Hallelujah. So when the Bible says you guard your heart diligently, that guarding your heart diligently has to do with the fact that it is a gateway. Okay? It's a gateway to our life. And if we're not guarding it, we're going to be losing our life. What Christ has found and has done for us in the spiritual, which is our spirit man, then our soul part, we need to take control of it. So when people are referring to your heart, know now, I know very well, that they can be targeting any of those four things. Okay? Some will want you to lose your conscience, right? And because when you get used to doing the wrong things, then your conscience is smeared. And that's a problem. Because you become debased. When you get used to the wrong emotions, it's a problem. It's a gateway into your heart. Hallelujah. When you cannot think the right things, then there is a problem. But look at it that you are able to take control of what you think about. Okay, you're able to take control of your emotions. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. And that's why joy happens irrespective of the conditions around you. Joy is not like happiness. Okay? Joy and being joyous and being happy, they are two different things. Okay? One is a component of your heart that it deals with. The other one is just your feeling. You're just happy. And it's transient. Okay? Joy needs nothing. For you to be joyous, you don't need anything physical to make you anything. You don't need anything to trigger you. Just, it says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because it's a component of your spiritual heart. So, and once you can get your heart to be in a joyous state, you have just done yourself a whole load of deed. Hallelujah. It says a merry soul works like medicine. But a broken spirit dries up the bones. Hallelujah. So if your spirit is broken, then you're as good as dead. Let's rise to our feet. Next week we'll continue. Let us talk to God this evening. And understanding is what we need. And that's why I made that statement the other time, talking about the fact that once we know, we become extraordinary. Once you have knowledge, you are able to take charge. You do things that people cannot do. Hallelujah. Once you understand your composition, you are able to move in the right direction. You know that there are two options. Either you move to the right or to the left. And that's why I took time to tell you about the physical art. There are two sides to it, the right side and the left side. Okay, one side deals with oxygen that needs blood. The other side deals with oxygen and blood that is laden with oxygen that is going to feed life to the organs. Hallelujah. Amen. The two components, they work together in the heart. Hallelujah. In this manner, we need to separate our heart, okay, and make sure that we fill it with the things of God. Hallelujah. And we'll be the best recipient of whatever we come. Because then, when we meditate on good things, then when our soul is joyous, and we are merry, hallelujah, we know that this is life. It gives life to our body. And what is important is that once our spirit is alive, our soul should be alive, and our body as well, hallelujah. And once these three are intact, that man has a total well-being, hallelujah. And it's all embedded in the word of God, hallelujah. It says in James chapter 1, verse 21. Yeah, it says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness, our flow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. Hallelujah. It says, receive the implanted word which is able to save your soul. Amen. And that's where your heart is. Hallelujah. The implanted word. Amen. So your soul, your heart thrives on the implanted word of God, the engrafted word. Hallelujah. Thank him and give him praise. Thank you, because he God indeed, and we'll see his hand in our lives. His word that comes to us will profit us, or we'll make good use of it in Jesus' name. Lord, we give you all the glory and praise. Your name be exalted, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.